Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents No BS Time Management for Entrepreneurs, the ultimate no-holds-barred, kick-butt, take-no-prisoners guide to time productivity and sanity, by Dan S. Kennedy and Ben Glass, narrated by Graham Rowett. Section 1. Introductions to No BS Time Management and to the Authors. Author's Preface. Not to skip. Time under attack, as never before.
It gets late early out here.
Yogi Berra. In 2017, in the third edition's introduction, I wrote, "It's a special kind of terrorism, the unrelenting, sometimes violent assault on your time from all directions, every waking minute, even when you sleep. These desperate times demand extreme measures. This is truer times 10 today." It was unimaginable just a handful of years ago just how much would be competing for the attention and time of the entrepreneur in our new, roaring 20s. All the old competitors are still at your door. Needed advertising and marketing decision-making and management of a burgeoning collection of media, publicity and public relations, customer retention, staff training, supervision and coaching, coping with business competitors, managing vendors, financial matters, and more. Nothing has been replaced, but there has been a lot added. Social media alone is stunningly demanding. It demands daily, live-time attention, new content creation, monitoring for adverse gossip, false information, disgruntled customer or employee rabble-rousing, fake reviews, trying to keep up with competitors on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, and a dozen more. Google alone is a challenge. YouTube. As I write this, staffing has become a big challenge and a time, energy, and money suck. A distorted labor availability, unrelenting inflation prompting pay raise demands, federal and state laws favoring big business over small inability to hire and retain employees. You are now competing for employees just as rigorously as you're competing for customers. Then you confront the new employee quality problems. With many, if not most, there is an anti-work mood, the work-from-home movement a huge impediment to supervision. All of it makes the entrepreneur and business owner desperate. One time demand after another, each right behind another, is at the door. A multiplying of means of communication, delivering demands with expectations of immediate response. The phone, text messages, email, social media platforms used as communication devices, creates a desperate pursuit, trying to monitor all channels of inbound communication, feeling compelled to respond now. The device, the so-called smartphone, now an appendage, a tether, never left to be ignored or wait while you have a meal, travel, attend your kid's ball game, even go to the toilet. It is an open doorway to you for the world, open 24/7, 365. Is it any wonder we have a mental health crisis? The majority of people taking sleep aids at night, antacids all day? Minutes after awakening, you are under siege. It continues all day and into the night. You allow this. As incredible as it may seem, you can say no. You can establish boundaries and a system for how the world interacts with you. This book is based on my own system, enforced for decades. In this edition, I also invited Ben Glass to share his system and his experience. Ben is one of the busiest individuals you'll ever meet, with incredible demands on his time, yet also one of the most relaxed and in control individuals you'll ever meet. More about Ben later. We share something that can change the trajectory of your life as an entrepreneur. A commitment to being in control. Not under siege. Not desperate for even a few minutes without conflict between our agendas and the people around us. Wimps, beware. This book is not for the faint of heart, fawningly polite, or desperate to be liked. It is, I hope, the hardest-nosed, most pugnacious, toughest-minded, most brass-ballsy and brass-knuckles material about the subject of time you have ever encountered. It is not a how-to book for winning popularity contests. It is a book about ruling your kingdom as you see fit, to protect your time, talent, productivity, and sanity. Hopefully you have this book because you are an entrepreneur. Your time is incredibly valuable to you, and you are constantly running out of it. If you know me, then you've also been motivated to get this book to find out how I manage to do all that I do. I've been asked so often by what seems like everybody who becomes familiar with my life how the devil I fit it all in that I sat down and wrote out the answer. This book. If you don't know me, then your curiosity about my methods may be further piqued by the description of my activities that follows this preface. If you know me, skip that section. This question, how do you do everything you do? How is it possible? Has followed me for about 45 years, getting asked more frequently by more people, now more desperately, as they find themselves more overwhelmed than ever, and my own prolific productivity becomes more and more known. When I wrote the first edition of this book in 1996, my personal modus operandi was only a curiosity. Now it has become of urgent interest. As a very busy, sometimes frantic, time-pressured entrepreneur, awash in opportunity, too often surrounded by nitwits and slower-than-molasses-pouring uphill folk, I understand your needs, desires, and frustrations. The multiple demands on an entrepreneur's time are extraordinary. I'm here to tell you that you need to take extraordinary measures to match those demands. Measures so radical and extreme that others may question your sanity. This is no ordinary time management book for the desk-bound or the person doing just one job. This book is expressly for the wearer of many hats, the inventive, opportunistic entrepreneur who can't resist piling more and more responsibility onto his own shoulders, who has many more great ideas than time and resources to take advantage of them, who runs, not walks, through each day. I'm you, and this is our book. As you have undoubtedly discovered, time is the most precious asset any entrepreneur possesses. Time to solve problems. Time to invent, create, think, and plan. Time to gather and assimilate information. Time to develop sales, marketing, management, and profit breakthroughs. Time to network. Probably not a day goes by that you don't shove something aside, sigh, and say to yourself, "If I could only find an extra hour to work on this, it'd make a huge difference in our business." I'm going to give you that extra hour. But what we're about to do here together is much bigger than just eking out an extra hour here or there. We are going to drastically re-engineer your entire relationship with time. I've had more than 45 years of high-pressure, high-wire-without-a-net entrepreneurial activity, starting, buying, developing, selling, succeeding in and failing in businesses, going broke, getting profoundly rich, and helping clients in hundreds of different fields. Here's what I've come to believe to be the single biggest secret of extraordinary personal, financial, and entrepreneurial success combined. The use or misuse, or abuse by others, of your time will determine your success. Just thinking about your time, really thinking about it, being hyper-aware of it, placing high value on it, is a big step in the right direction. Awareness helps a lot. There's a reason why you can't find a wall clock in a casino to save your life. Those folks stealing your money do not want you to be aware of the passing of time. And that tells you something useful right there. You want to be very aware all the time of the passing of time. It is to your advantage to be very conscious of the passage and usage of minutes and hours. Put a good, big, easily visible, nagging clock in every work area. If you spend a lot of time on the phone, have and use a timer. We'll talk later about psychological triggers. In my workplace, conference room, and office, in my home, there are dozens of clocks, including two that talk every hour, and I can't turn around anywhere in a circle without seeing one, nor can a visiting client. Facing me at my desk, there's also a wooden model of a hangman's noose. Not subtle. Beyond simple awareness, there are practical strategies, methods, procedures, and tools that the busiest, most pressured person can use to crowbar some breathing room into his schedule, to force others to cooperate with his exceptional needs, to squeeze just a bit more out of each day. In this book, I give you mine. You will undoubtedly be interested in some, disinterested in others, maybe even deeply disturbed or antagonized by a few. That's okay. Although it's generally a bad idea to hire an advice giver and then choose only the advice you like, in this case it is a cafeteria, and you can pick and choose and still get value. Now it is time to get to work. Dan S. Kennedy. Note. As I said, the original first edition of this book was written and published in 1996. I have kept much of the prior editions of the book intact, or nearly intact, as they are just as valid as ever, and likely more important to you as you are operating your own business life now than they may be in my modified late-in-career version. If anything, the passing of time has stiffened my resolve about safeguarding it, wisely investing it, enjoying it, and bringing wrath upon any who would steal it, waste it, or abuse it. An invitation. Throughout this book, you will catch references to No BS Inner Circle and to MagneticMarketing.com and to the members of this organization. If you are not familiar with this global association of entrepreneurs and the opportunities for business and personal growth it offers, please accept the invitation from timemanagementfreegift.com. There's no reason not to do it immediately. You need not complete this book first. Co-author's introduction. I'm a busy guy, but there's almost nothing in my life that I must do that I don't like doing. Just stop and think about that for a moment. My life is not perfect. I have lots of balls in the air, but I can tell you that if you followed me around for a week or two, you would have a hard time figuring out what is work and what is play. What would someone say if they followed you around for a week? Two questions that can give a good measurement of your life. Do you like going to work? Do you like going home? Being able to answer those questions yes and yes is an awesome place to be. I can guarantee you that if you take the contents of this book seriously, begin to act and align yourself with others who think the way Dan and I do, your life will change. That last part is important. Finding others. Being an entrepreneur takes hard work. But doing the hard work alone is a choice. My hope for you is that when you finish listening to this book, you will begin to develop, or refine, life habits that will enable you to say, "Yes, I'm productive, but there's almost nothing I have to do in my life that I don't like doing." My life changed when I read the first edition of this book when it was published in 1996. I was on a vacation, and I can distinctly remember finding a payphone to call my assistant at the office and tell her, "We have a new rule. I will never, ever take an unplanned inbound phone call again." I described this practice later in Chapter 3, but for now, just know that I took immediate action on that very simple idea, and it changed my life. My story. The simple version. I am a dad to 9, married since 1981, and can wholeheartedly answer yes and yes to the two previous questions. I am living a very good, full life, but it was not always that way. Want more details? Today I run a law firm, Ben Glass Law, that helps the sick and disabled tell their stories to skeptical insurance companies. I'm also the only full-time practicing lawyer in the nation who is leading a tribe of thousands of lawyers who are comfortable with the notion that it's okay to have fun and make good money in the practice of law in my second company, Great Legal Marketing. They have reimagined what it means to practice law in their communities, and I have Dan to thank for showing me how to build that. I am very happily married to my best friend, Sandy, since 1981, and we have 9 children, 4 adopted from China, and 7 grandchildren. I have sent 7 of my children to 6 different Virginia universities, have paid off all college debt incurred for the first 4, while paying cash for the last 3 to attend. When they were young, I coached my children in youth sports, one time coaching 3 during the same season. You'll hear more about that later in Chapter 3. In our family, we put a high priority on having dinner together every night. Even if the dinner table was sometimes the grass just outside of the Little League field. I come and go from my businesses as I please. I'm in my 50th year of refereeing soccer games, and these days, at age 66, am still regularly refereeing highly competitive youth and high school soccer teams. I participate in and hold a Level 1 coaching certificate in CrossFit. I have created 3 active public podcasts and a private podcast for our Great Legal Marketing members. I provide jobs, financial security, and a great place to work for about 20 people, including some overseas workers, and I get invited to speak to lawyers and other entrepreneurs all over the country. For over a decade, I served on the board of directors of Love Without Boundaries, an organization that provides hope and healing to children around the world. We have fostered to adopt over 60 dogs. Today, Sandy and I help raise and train puppies who, upon graduation from a local nonprofit, Healing House, will go on to aid a child on the autism spectrum. Oh, and I've written books on law, business, marketing, mindset, and even one for teenage soccer referees. This is not bragging. My life is not your life, and I never tell anyone how they should live their life. How you measure your own life is your business. What I do is show people that such a life is possible, even when busy. The number one question I get is, how do you split up your time, especially between your law practice and your coaching organization, let alone raising 9 children? In the past, I tried to figure that out and give people an answer based on hours, but found that even I couldn't really figure that out. It was only after my friend Brian Kurtz showed me a quote from James Michener during a mastermind meeting that I came up with a better way to describe my life. The master of the art of living makes little distinction between his work and his play, his labor and his leisure, his mind and his body, his information and his recreation, his love and his religion. He hardly knows which is which. He simply pursues his vision of excellence at whatever he does, leaving others to decide whether he is working or playing. To him, he's always doing both. But I wasn't born this way. I had a pretty typical path to the legal profession, going into law school directly from undergrad and then finding my first job in a small law firm, where I stayed for 13 years. During that time, I got great training on how to be a trial lawyer and 0 training on how to run a business. In fact, much of the money I made for the firm in the early days was by amassing lots of billable hours, the worst way to value your time. My epiphany came one day when I was driving in our typical 45-minute Northern Virginia high-traffic commute, wondering how I was going to get back out to my house to start the first of 3 soccer practices I had to run that afternoon as a coach. As a lawyer, I was getting good results, had a great reputation with other lawyers and judges, and was doing well with juries, so I said, "Screw it. Why don't I just start up a law firm nearer to my house? How hard can that be?" Turns out it was pretty hard. I made that leap in 1995, and being a good trial lawyer wasn't enough to sustain a business. I knew nothing about how to actually run a law firm, attract clients, or make hiring decisions. And as a result, my business life was chaos, and that spilled over to the family life. Those were very stressful times. One of the side effects of a poorly run business is that, out of desperation, you learn to never say no to the next new case, no matter how bad the facts were, and, importantly for this book, no matter how time-sucking the client was. See, I thought the legal profession was telling me that I had to serve everyone in need, and I knew that my bank account was telling me that I had to take all comers or I would be bankrupt. How Dan Kennedy found me. Then one day I got a letter in the mail from Dan Kennedy. Being a fan of success and personal development literature, but obviously not being able to figure out how exactly to achieve success, I was on a lot of mailing lists that made up Dan's target market. The letter described Dan's magnetic marketing product, which I could buy for the low price of $299, which, at the time, was more money than I had ever spent on a book in my life. Since the sales letter seemed to be written by a guy who had eavesdropped on the discussions that my wife and I had in the kitchen in the evening, I bought it. Magnetic marketing came in a big three-ring binder and told stories of how Al the plumber and Giorgio the restaurant owner marketed their businesses. Magnetic marketing also talked about attracting clients, customers, and patients with a lead generation magnet. I thought, this is nuts. My business is different. Fortunately, the book came with 6 audio tapes. I put them in the car and began listening. I still didn't understand most of what Dan was talking about in the tapes or the binder, but I came away with a new feeling about the world of business and entrepreneurship. This is what I heard Dan saying to me. You get to decide what you want your life to be. Entrepreneurism is the best way to achieve your vision for your life. Marketing is an essential part of building your own business, and the first rule of marketing is that if you know nothing about marketing, look around at what everyone else is doing and figure out something different to do. Thus, I entered the world of Planet Dan, as his longtime disciples call it, and, all these years later, I'm still a part of Dan's world, associating with other long-time lifers, and now helping to spread Dan's teaching to the world of highly productive entrepreneurs. Section 2. How to Vanquish the Enemies of Peak Productivity and Performance as an Entrepreneur. Chapter 1. How to Turn Time into Money. By Dan Kennedy. That which is not worth doing well is worth not doing. Warren Buffett. What is entrepreneurship if not the conversion of your knowledge, talent, guts, etc., through investment of your time into money? In time management books and in time management seminars, authors and speakers love to show off charts and graphs depicting the dollar value of each workday hour, depending on your income or the income you want to achieve. Maybe you've sat through one of these painful PowerPoint sessions before. If you use one of these lecturers' numbers, for example, based on 8-hour workdays, presuming 220 workdays, earning $200,000 a year requires that each hour be worth $113.64. Unfortunately, it's all a pile of seminar room BS. Here's why. It's all based on 8-hour workdays. 8 hours a day. But there's not a soul on the planet who gets in 8 productive hours a day, not even close. You see, the workday hour is one thing, the productive hour, or what I call the billable hour, is another. In Chapter 7, there's a definition of productivity you may want to use to determine which of your hours are productive. If you can't or won't define it, you can't manage it. Now, if you happen to be an attorney, none of this matters. It seems lawyers bill out hours whether productive or not. Here's the classic lawyer joke. 35-year-old lawyer in perfect health suddenly drops dead. He gets to St. Peter at the gate and argues, "You guys screwed up. You pulled me up here early." St. Peter checks his clipboard and says, No, sir. Judging by your total billable hours, you're 113 years old, and we're late. Lawyers. I kept that joke in this edition despite adding a lawyer as my co-author. For the record, he's one of the good ones. And, kidding aside, to make yourself and your time and even those around you more productive, you have to do reality-based thinking. We can only collect on genuinely productive hours. Can one number change your life? Let's go back to the math game and assume that $200,000 is your base earnings target. We'll talk more about what that term means later. How many of your hours will be productive, directly generating revenue? How many will be otherwise consumed? Commuting, filling out government paperwork, dealing with vendors, emptying the trash cans? I hope not. Whatever. Let's say it is one-third productive, two-thirds other. That's pretty generous. One study of Fortune 500 CEOs revealed they averaged 28 productive minutes a day. The business legend Lee Iacocca, who made the Mustang happen at Ford and who rescued Chrysler from the brink of bankruptcy in the 1980s with minivans and cup holders and bold warranties, personally told me he figured top CEOs might squeeze in 45 productive minutes per day. The rest of the day fighting off time-wasting BS like a frantic fellow futilely waving his arms at a swarm of angry bees on attack. And that was then. This is now, with all the intrusive communication, email, texts, expected participation in social media. All those distractions in the device in your hand. I have a lot more to say about this in the new Chapter 4, but let's generously label 33% of your time productive. With that, only one of 3 hours counts as billable. So you've got to multiply the $113.64 times 3, $340.92. This becomes your governing number for $200,000 a year. For $600,000, 3 times that, $1,022.76. When I wrote the first edition of this book in 1996, I was charging about $3,500 to write an advertising campaign for a client. By the time I updated this book in 2004, that fee had multiplied 5 times. Today, a full campaign bills at $75,000 to $200,000 plus royalties. Since the time required is about the same, possibly less as my memory bank of material and proficiency have grown, this puts more and more weight on any time wasted. I also now target a yearly income upwards from $1.5 million, so the ideas and methods I describe in this book are a lot more important to me financially today than they were in 1996 or in 2004. Of course, it's arguably true that I can more easily afford to repel some clients and annoy some people with these methods now than then, but I contend I got here, in part, by thinking about time in this fashion and doing these things long before I could ostensibly afford them. That's important. You can't wait until you have the high income, net worth, and success you desire to properly value and make others properly value your time for that reality. Anyway, let's roll back the calendar and assume that my base earnings target number required an hourly average of only $340.92. If you travel in business, you have to think about this a lot. I once lived in Arizona and then traveled for business constantly. I currently have homes in Ohio and in Virginia. I grew to loathe travel, and now do it as little as possible, only flying by private jet and insisting the clients, coaching groups, even most of the events I speak at, occur in my home cities. But when I was traveling, if there were 2 days of travel bracketing a day of work, that put 3 days' cost to that work. Using the $340.92 hourly number, that's $8,182.08 of cost. In a sense, I started that day $8,000 in the hole. It had to pay me $8,000 just to get to break even. Few people ever factor cost of their time or their staff's time into product, service, or deliverable cost, or the maintenance of each client of variable value or much of anything else. But you should.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?